This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for world-class carbon wheels that are UCI approved, come with a lifetime warranty and shipped free worldwide, then check out Wheel Science. Get all the performance at half the price, and when you use the coupon code KONAEDGE at checkout, you'll get an extra 10% discount. To learn more, head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels to find out more, or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels.
This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. Time to chat some running as we head back to Stockholm in Sweden to catch up with Rasmus Fingerton. Rasmus, welcome back onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for talking to us today.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm having a quiet chuckle to myself here because you said it to me a couple of times in our previous chats that you've said, I think your exact words were, I'm not the strongest of runners. That's what you said to me. But coming off a 3:05 marathon in Kona, it might not be your strongest of the three disciplines, but I don't believe that you're not a strong runner. You're a machine.
Yeah, maybe. especially in the longer distances, as longer the better, I would say. Yeah.
You spoke about last season as well and breaking through the belief barrier that you've always believed that you were not overweight, but you're a bigger guy. You're quite muscular. Yeah. And you always believed that because of that, you weren't a great runner. Tell me a little bit about the breakthrough moment where you realized, you know what? I can actually do this thing.
I think it was in both South Africa when I ran 3:04. Off the bike in an Ironman marathon. Then I had felt it on training that I should be able to keep this kind of pace. But when you get there on an Ironman and you're really exhausted after 7 hours or so, then everything gets much harder. So then I really started to believe that yes, I can actually do a pretty decent run in an Ironman. But the real breakthrough was in at the Ironman 70.3 in Elsinore, where I ran a 1:14 half marathon split, and I didn't think I was capable of running so fast in a half marathon ever. And then after that, I felt like there's actually no limits, or I don't know, because, I had like that was a limit that I had been, setting for myself, that you shouldn't be able to run like fast or faster than 1:15. I didn't think that was possible, but, now I triumph that, and, I can triumph myself another time, I guess. So that was a really crazy moment. And I think my watch died, and I met my father at the finish line, and I knew it was the fast run split, but it didn't. So I was just what was my run split? And he was like checking the tracker app, and it was 1:14, and I think I was just screaming because it was, yeah, I didn't believe it.
That's amazing. And now that has been broken and there's a lot more belief in your run, how fast do you think you can go? I mean, you said the 3:04 Ironman South Africa, 3:05 in Kona. The sub three is just 5 minutes or 4 minutes on a marathon at that pace is quite a bit, but you must believe you can go well under 3 hours.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, in training, I go very comfortably at the 4 minutes per kilometers. So I think that, sub 2:50, it shouldn't be impossible. And I definitely think I can pull that off. We'll see when it will be, if I will be doing that, but that's what I'm aiming for right now, to average around 4 minutes per kilometers in an Ironman.
In your opinion, what's the secret to running well off a hard bike? Because you have to be biking hard to be going 4:30 on a Ironman bike course.
Yeah, I think for Ironman, then I think it's actually very important to run a lot at your goal Ironman race pace, or even slightly over that. You need to really adapt your legs to do long distances quite fast. So for instance, I'm going to leading up to my next Ironman, I'm going the month prior to the event, I'm going to go like 30, 40 kilometers, maybe 3, 4, 5 times, and then go in 4 minutes per kilometers. That's my goal pace, or maybe even faster than that. So when I get on race day, it's like, I've been doing this. It's the mental aspect again. I've been doing this before. It's not a problem. I can do this. And it also feels much easier if you have like if you have if your legs are used to that pace. It's like this is what you're supposed to do, just execute it. But of course it's not that simple. But I also think it's really important to have a rather high maximum capacity in your run as well. Even if you can run rather a long time at a certain pace, but if that is too close to your maximum, then it's going to be too hard on the Ironman. So you actually need to aim for, when you're out on a run and you're running your goal pace, this should be like very, very, very easy if you haven't been biking before for a very long time. So I think that you cannot treat yourself and think that you don't need the maximum or like a high speed, because you need that those margins, because in Ironman everything gets so much harder after 6, 7, 8 hours.
Let's talk about it, the toughness of it. You said to me in our first chat that you like Ironman because it's you feel that it's harder than the cross country skiing and the Nordic skiing you were doing. We all go through patches, particularly on the run, where we question our sanity. And I always say one of the reasons I love it is you get to hang out in dark places. You go to places you never ordinarily do. What are some of the things that you do to get yourself through those patches? Is there strategies that you employ on the run?
I think it could be different from race to race. In some races, it's like your stomach that really like refuses to take any nutrition, and you feel ill and nausea. And then you need to find a strategy to work with that. In South Africa, for instance, then it was my legs. They were the worst. They hurted like every step so much. So they were, the muscles were completely like damaged, I guess. And in Kona, it was the heat for sure. So I think that you need to be kind of creative during the race and find like, how am I going to cope up with the kind of pain the kind of pain you're what you're feeling at the moment. So in Kona, for instance, my strategy was to go to every aid station and then stop for 10, 15 seconds and really cool myself down with a cold water bottle, or dig my head into a ice bucket. That was a strategy that worked very well in Kona. I've been pushing myself really hard for almost my entire life. So it's kind of natural to me. I know how to sort of, deal with those situations without really knowing how. I think So
it's almost by instinct, by the sounds of it.
I think so.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Rasmus, that was amazing. I look forward to touching on your nutrition, but we'll save that for next time out. Thanks for your time on the Kona Edge today. If you've enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge, I want to invite you to check out the Coach Parry Training Club. The Coach Parry Training Club is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of their triathlon journey. Whether you're just starting out in the sport and training for your first sprint distance race, or if you've been around the block a few times and are looking to take your Ironman performance to the next level, then the Coach Parry Training Club can help you. Developed by double Olympic and Commonwealth Games triathlon coach Lindsay Parry and myself, the Coach Parry Training Club is the go-to online platform for your training needs. It's like having a coach in your pocket. Get 20% off when you join the Coach Parry Training Club by using the coupon code KONA at checkout. Head over to thekonaedge.com/coach or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/coach.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.